The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture. From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians, follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Layla Rahimi, Marshall Harris, Rahimi and Harris, middays 10 a.m. to 2 on Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Playing center field in Wrigley is one thing, but where's your favorite place to play center field? Ooh, I would think Colorado with all that space and all the speed you've got.
I mean, the ball actually finds a way to just like kind of hang up and balloon. So yeah, I do like it.
That was Pete Armstrong talking on the Major League Baseball All-Star Game last night on Fox. This is Rahimi and Harris on 670 The Score.
But we cut him short there because he definitely said his favorite place to play is Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, he did say that. Do we have the rest of that?
I'm definitely positive on that.
I'm not surprised, though. That's his hometown ballpark. Yeah, that makes sense.
I know some people were maybe getting a touch sensitive about that. It's like, Dodger Stadium, he wants to go play for the Dodgers. No, he's, trust me, when I tell you he's under control by the Cubs, they got years to deal with Pete Crow Armstrong and pay that man his money and everything else. He's not going to become a Dodger, at least not in the next 8 years.
Well, notwithstanding some though, event.
Playing at Dodger Stadium has been my favorite place to play defense.
How much of that is it's special because you grew up going to games there?
Well, that's exactly it, but we've played some really fun games there, so I've gotten to make an impact on that side of the ball, and that's always special to me. I love doing that.
Yeah, so that answer makes complete sense. And if you hold that against Pete Crow Armstrong, man, you need to get a life. You need better things to do. You're in a space of your head in which you're not thinking about things contextually at all.
I don't think we want to start that list, especially after that last part you just said.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure that's every online reply I get these days. So let's go back to part of this being, that's Pete Crow Armstrong mic'd up. He was on the mic during the game. And that's something where we've heard it in regular season games. Not only has it not turned out well at times from an entertainment standpoint, but there have been times on Sunday Night Baseball where you're wondering if it affected the game, where your focus isn't exactly where you need it to be, and a play goes past you if you're a fielder, and you see something happen that you don't want to occur. You know, did a base hit just occur because of this, or was there an error because you're mic'd up? We've had a lot of questions about that over time. But in an All-Star game setting, when the game doesn't count, as we said, but you still get the glimpse into the daily life of a baseball player, at least how they conduct their business, surrounded by the best in the game, this seemed like something that would make sense.
I love this in an exhibition format, and I've been one of those, I don't know about this micing people up while they're in the field trying to actually do their job, because it has seemed clunky, awkward, all of the negative things that you think of when you talk about your guy on your team being distracted, and if he commits an error, everybody's going to be mad. But it felt so much more loose and fun and easygoing, and the players from Tarek Skubal, who's out here giving up runs, sounded like he was having a good time talking about pitching, yeah, while pitching.
But for some reason, for me, that was the one that felt a little difficult, you know, like, and I think I'm comparing it in retrospect to what we heard from Clayton Kershaw. So that to me was when I talk about the changing of the guard and at least respecting what we've seen the previous era of the last 15 years in baseball. I feel like Clayton Kershaw symbolizes that for a lot of reasons. Is it more top of mind because he got 3,000 strikeouts? Absolutely. But that moment in and of itself, when you know that you're watching the practical end of somebody's career, especially those last All-Star games, for example, I think it does mean a little bit more to fans, and those moments are some of your lasting ones. So let's listen to what we found out was Clayton Kershaw's, it was his entire outing on the mound last night. He faced two batters. The whole thing was only 2 minutes and 28 seconds. Is that right, guys? Okay. So let's listen to the entire outing for Clayton Kershaw last night while he was on the mound talking to the Fox broadcast team.
And we're actually going to get to talk baseball with Clayton. I can't believe you're doing this, Clayton.
I don't can't either. I'm going to try to throw some cheese real quick. Hold on.
Cal Raleigh puts it in the air to left field.
And a sliding catch by Kyle Tucker.
That was sick.
Easy.
That was sick.
Yeah. Kyle Tucker now with the Cubs, enjoying a great season and enjoying a great catch.
This might be my last batter, guys.
That was sweet.
Yeah, how hard was that one? 91?
It was an out.
It was an out. All right, we're going cheese again.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Let's go. I mean, you and Paul Skeens are pretty much the same guy.
Right down the middle. I'm so glad he didn't swing. Okay, I'm going curveball here.
Okay.
Oh, that was short.
What now? Double up.
All right, now I think I probably got to go slider. Let's think what Will thinks, but I think I got to go slider here. No, no, he wants curveball again. All right, fine.
Hey, oh, Uncle Charlie.
Okay. What do you want, Smoltz? What do you want?
Cutter in, slider in.
I don't throw a cutter.
He doesn't slider in. Slider. Say cutter.
Son of a.
Gonna make him mad.
That was short.
How about this splitty? Break out the splitty.
All right, what's the count? 2-2? Yeah. This is so weird talking to you guys.
It's kind of weird for us, too.
Three.
Hey, sit him down.
I think that might be it.
That's it. And Clayton, what a year, buddy. What a career. And what a moment. Soak it in.
Thanks, brother. God, all right. Thanks, dude.
Nice job, boy.
Thanks, guys. That was fun. Thank you. Thanks, dude. Thanks, brother. That was fun.
All right. That's yours.
Do I keep it?
That's yours. You keep it.
All right.
That's yours. Well done, Chris.
Thanks, guys. All right.
One of the greatest that ever lived right there, Clayton Kershaw.
Hey, that was fun, guys. Thanks for talking.
You're the best, 22.
To be able to multitask like that, I thought that that was incredible theater.
And it's not like he came in at the end of the game and was facing like lesser guys. This is the second inning. This is Cal Raleigh. We saw what he did the night before. And Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah, Vlad
Jr. And he got him out.
He said...
He got a strikeout on Vladdy.
He said through him a cutter. That ball goes in the dirt about 4 feet ahead of home plate.
Clayton Kershaw, an 11-time All-Star. I think my favorite part of that was when John Smoltz was telling him what to throw. I was like, I don't throw that. You should know. That's not in my arsenal.
Oh, they're just messing with each other at that point.
Yeah.
And you heard him say son of a because he was about to catch himself swearing on a microphone. Pete Crow Armstrong was not so lucky. I think we all heard that a time or two as he and Kyle Tucker really collided in the outfield.
But as you know, I haven't been a fan of miking people up, and I also wasn't a fan of the idea that you're going to just announce Clayton Kershaw as an All-Star when he hasn't even announced he's retiring at the end of the year. That hasn't happened. But after seeing it and after watching and listening to it, yeah, that was the right move by Major League Baseball, and he did a phenomenal job, and he was there. It was just him out there for two outs and vibes, two batters and vibes.
Well, and Dave knew it. Like that was a big part of it, was you were seeing Dave Roberts and Aaron Boone. Boone is just not innately as much that way as we know. You've watched enough Yankees games, or again, Sunday Night Baseball, you get that impression. But Dave runs out there, has fun with it, and you see them share that moment. There's also something about Clayton Kershaw's delivery that I think is so incredibly difficult, and that he's able to do it like that every single time while he's talking to the announcers and joking and facing the best in the game. That's where it's hard to process when you're watching it real time, knowing and hearing how hard it actually is.
The Recap Show is an unfiltered inside look into the world of global soccer and women's sports and all things culture.
From two U.S. Women's National Team World Cup champions and Olympians,
follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.
Let's listen to Pete Crow Armstrong, because he did have great moments when he was mic'd up. I guess we'll start with the near collision with Kyle Tucker. As long as, are we FCC safe? Are we safe? Do we bleep it out? Okay, let's make sure.
You're double checking that.
We are making sure. So let's start with him talking about what advice he'd give to kids who want to be like Pete.
I get a lot of kids that tell me they want to be like PCA. For the kids that want to be like you, what would you tell them?
I hope you be exactly how you are supposed to be. You know, I think
I've dealt with, trying to emulate other people and focusing a little bit less on myself and what makes me great and unique. And I think that is so important for kids that play this game or don't, to understand that, you know, there's so much to offer and everybody's so nice and unique in their own individual way.
Aww.
Giving some inspiration, sounding like an old man. That man is not old. That is a young man in Pete Crow Armstrong giving some sage advice there.
That wholesome moment is brought to you by Pete Crow Armstrong. Okay, we're good on the other one. Let's listen to the chaos in the outfield, but also some fun with Pete Crow Armstrong.
Jacob Wilson to the plate, and he goes after the first pitch, flies it into left center.
You're right there.
Come on, doesn't the center fielder get to take charge?
My lord, I can't hear anything outside. I can't hear you. I peeked, though. I peeked well.
I was falling forward. I was like, I don't know.
I peeked. I had a feeling.
You can tell Kyle it's our fault. We're in your ear while you're trying to communicate.
Yeah, I'll let him know when I go back inside. Kyle's special. I don't think his defense get talked about enough. So,
Pete Crow Armstrong
went right straight back into it.
Pete Crow Armstrong, just listening to him talk about his teammate Kyle Tucker, called him one of his friends, best friends,
best buddies,
best buddies,
best
yeah,
buddies,
you're right. Best buddies. But also, if people don't understand what happened there on that play, when they mic you up, you don't just get one earpiece; you get both earpieces in, so you can clearly hear what they're saying to you from the booth. So you really can't hear what's going on around you. So therefore, if Kyle Tucker, who is playing left field, not the traditional right field we've seen him play with the Cubs, when he's going over towards left field, Pete can't hear whether or not Kyle has it or not. So he's just yelling and hoping, and luckily they didn't like cause serious injury to each other.
He also looked very he made things look casual and easy out there in left field. Kyle Tucker did.
Kyle Tucker's a plus fielder.
It's an all-star game, and I know. But I do kind of examine that even in those scenarios when you're trying to see, do people need to be switched around every now and then? What's going to happen there? But I don't think that's in Craig Counsell's repartee.
And then the sliding catch on Kyle Rowley was really, really nice.
That's, yes, exactly. So it was enjoyable to hear Pete Crow Armstrong. And a lot of people chiming in about the automatic ball strike system, automated.
Loved it.
It was not an issue. We're not talking about it because it was that simple.
7 seconds or less. Let's go.
And there were fun moments because you're waiting to see, just like when you're watching tennis, what the ruling is and how many of those pitches were catching part of the strike zone. And there were a lot of fun moments when it came to that as well. Like, that was a big part of it. Like Edwin Diaz, you saw him smile there. Like there were a lot of moments where you're saying to yourself, oh, see, everybody's cool. And I dare I say it, did the umpires have some stress relief there? Because you don't have to be all rough and tough in those moments. You just stand on business because you're just helping facilitate the right decisions that are being made.
Lots of great texts coming in. 815, I am a 40-year-old man taking advice from PCA. I get it.
Aren't
I understand
all?
It. And then 785 making a good point. ESPN miking guys up just does not do as good a job as Fox did. Fox is so personable.
I really think it had more to do with the fact that this was a game that didn't count.
Maybe.
When you're trying to focus in a game that matters, especially if it's the last game of a series, for example, which is traditionally what happens on Sunday night, then you're usually focused on the game much more so than the announcers. So I think that's what it had to do with. This is an environment that promotes fun. During a game when it counts, I'm still a little stressed out.
I'm Kristen Press.
And I'm Tobin Heath.
We're World Cup winners, Olympians, and the hosts of The Recap Show.
Every week, we sit down with the icons, disruptors, and game changers on the field and beyond it to talk victories, heartbreaks, and everything in between.
We've built a space where athletes, changemakers, and people creating the future of women's sports can show up and show off as their full, unapologetic selves.
Follow and listen to The Recap Show wherever you get your podcasts.